This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, hour number two starts now. It's Nick in for Barry. It's Aaron Rabold and myself, Joel, as we take it till 4 o'clock. Interesting that the Yankees players are now chiming in, and one comment may surprise you a little bit when it gets to that of Brett Gardner. Aaron Judge obviously said he was mad when he first heard of the cheating and the fact that obviously he thought his team was affected the most. But Brett Gardner said, you know, I'm sick of hearing about it and talking about it and being asked about it. To be honest, the more we stand here and we're talking about it, the longer it drags on, and I just don't think it's good for the game. Could that be that you're just being honest about the situation, or you know that the more they dig and the more that they expand the probe, doesn't sound like something you'd enjoy, Nick, but if they dig into this whole Beltran situation, and like we said, when he said you guys are so behind the times when he showed up in Houston in 2017, well, the times that he was involved in before he saw a team that was behind the times were 3 years with the Yankees. So maybe the Yankees players are getting a little wise.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's that bad for the game. I feel like there's more attention being brought. I mentioned this yesterday on the program. I feel like there's more eyeballs. More people are looking for the drama that's being surrounded, that surrounds the Astros and surrounds the game. So I'm not sure if it absolutely hurts the game. I'm really looking forward to like attendance numbers for all these teams, attendance numbers overall, by you know, for the MLB, because I don't feel like there's going to be a significant drop. I feel like the sport can weather the storm, and I'm not sure if it's going to lose any revenue, kind of like in the situation the NBA was that we talked about yesterday with China. I don't think it's bad. It's a bad look. It's bad for the sport, but at the same time, I don't think it hurts it to the extent that many people think, because I think people are living for the drama. So I think the revenue and the TV dollars and all that's still going to remain the same.
Well, and I told you, I mean, not that I don't think that it's a distinct possibility that when the national TV schedule came out a few months ago and people were scratching their temple going, why did the Astros hardly have any games on national TV? I got to believe someone in baseball tipped off somebody at the networks going, look, we can't talk about this right now, but there's a reason why we're telling you to reduce the amount of appearances the Astros make. And to your point, Nick, I think that now we've seen the passion behind all of the teams and the players and the fan bases about this entire situation, no matter what side of the fence you're on with all of this, that there is going to be must-see television moments throughout the year when the Astros make their first appearance in Yankee Stadium, when the Astros and the Yankees square off, when, you know, depending on what happens with the Red Sox, when any time any of the teams and the players that were either completely called out and they were and basically were punished, or the innuendo is there that these were the players that did this on these teams, when they play some of these teams in which guys were really passionate pitchers and position players like Nick Markakis, like Justin Turner, like Cody Bellinger. When these things happen, quotes are going to be there for the taking, animosity is going to be there from the get-go, and people are going to be more dialed in on baseball.
I totally agree. And how many times have we heard somebody, and I'm not necessarily one that believes this train of thought, but how many times have we heard that the sport would be better if there was more fights, more brawls? There could be more brawls this year. Now, we do know about the potential punishment that could come along with plunking Astros players and starting brawls because of this, but it still can go up. It still could increase. You never know. I mean, look, I think yesterday or the day before, there was like a high school basketball game in which there was this massive brawl. There was like two women on the bleachers, and they got knocked over, and doctors had to attend to them.
That was last night at Prairie View A&M.
And that was that a high school or a college game?
No, that's a college game.
It was a college game. So even at the college level.
Against Jackson State, I was watching it because Prairie View's coach, Byron Smith, and I go way, way back. We've played against each other in pickup ball and city leagues forever and a day, and I'm really happy with the job he's done at Prairie View. But they were up by like 16, 18 points. I turned it off. And then I see on SportsCenter that in the handshake line, after the game, someone said something that a guy at Jackson State didn't like, and he went after whoever he could get his hands on from Prairie View. Then once they got it separated the first time, it broke out again.
And then he got dropped. Did you see the way he got dropped? He like ran after him, and the guy just went boop, and he went.
I didn't see that, but then I saw what you're talking about. Two older ladies in the front row got like run over.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. And this coming out off of, I think it was 2 weeks ago, a women's game between another local team.
Texas Southern,
I believe. Texas Southern. They were on the road. And at the end of the game, haymakers were thrown and the fans were getting involved and everything else. It's like, well, Houston teams, just come on out swinging. I like it, yeah. But you got to be careful because now punishments are going to come too.
Well, I mean, my point was, if it's happening at the college level, a lot of you can hear the tone of some of these players that really are genuinely upset that, you know, this game means so much to them. They've been playing this since they were kids. And to hear about the Astros cheating really genuinely upset them. And so why would it not happen at their level when this is their career and this is their craft and this is what they're working on every single day? If it's happening at the college level where none of these guys are even getting paid, you know, so again, that's going to be a tough job by Rob Manfred. And he's probably going to be the guy that's going to have to deter a lot of these plunks and a lot of these brawls if they do happen. But still, there's a lot of passion and a lot of angry people in MLB right now.
But speaking of that, Nick, the passion, right? We talk all the time about Astros Twitter. And if this situation wasn't front and center, Astros Twitter would be passionate, getting into it with Mariners fans, Yankees fans, whatever the case may be. I think at a certain time and point like now, it's time to turn the page and embrace the hate and just realize, hey, it's like Patriots and their fan base. At a certain point, realize they hate you, and if you're good, then they're hating you because you continue to play the game at a certain level, regardless of what happened in 2017, and embrace the hate. You know, El Jefe showed us that one of the top, when you buy a hat at Lids now, you can get embroidery. And one of the top things that everybody's getting embroidered on all the Astros hats right now is Houston versus everybody on the side of the hats. I love it. Embrace the hate. Support your team. Don't let anybody let you waver. Don't worry. Tune out all of the John Boys and the tweets and even the national guys that aren't using journalistic integrity and just piling on. Just focus on your squad and supporting them the best you can like you've done in the past and let everything play out. Because you know what? At the end of the day, if this team wins and wins big, and even if they don't win the World Series, if they make a good, strong run, and you know and you can unequivocally say there was no cheating involved in the process, just like I keep reminding people, last year when there was no cheating, and everybody said there was no cheating, they made the World Series, they were one game away from winning it all. They're a damn good team.
They're a really good team. Everybody last year and the year before, how many times have you heard broadcasters, analysts from all over the country say, this roster has the most talent? How many times have we heard that? A million times. There's no question that there's talent on the roster, but very good players cheated and they got caught. And so it's still a bad look. But you're right. Last year, there was, according to all the reports and everything, there was no cheating last year and they made the World Series. They just need to make another run and they need to do it without Garrett Cole and some of the pieces that perhaps are missing, but they need to do it. They need to make another run.
It's interesting, too, guys, because the one thing that I want to throw out there, and we were talking about this for a video on SportsMap, but the question to me becomes overall, not just with this scandal, but with everything in social media these days. It used to be that journalistic integrity was to report just the facts, the quotes and the comments around the facts, and then let everybody determine their own opinions. But nowadays, and I use the Harold Reynolds video that's now circulating on the internet,
yeah,
of the actual Altuve home run and the sequence about how the pitches that were being thrown at him, and the indications of every major league hitter said that Aroldis Chapman didn't have his good stuff that day, and any major league hitter would have been sitting on that pitch, and the fact that he threw it in the fat part of the plate, there was nothing wrong with that. Then everybody, when you don't know, the same way that you have a blue check mark when you're, you know, verified on Twitter, there should also be, for tweets and video, there should be some way of verifying this is authentic 100%. Because if you go back and look at what the Yankees have tweeted out and other people and other writers tweeted out about that video, they spliced it up. They chopped it up because they wanted to feed the beast, and they wanted the innuendo to be out there that Altuve went in after the home run and changed his shirt before he came out to celebrate on the field. No, he didn't. He never left. And all the things that they were talking about, including Reynolds freezing the video to show that the M for his daughter's name was already tattooed on his collarbone, just like Correa said, and all these other things, when do we draw the line with social media and otherwise and say, look, I get it, it's all about, it's a click-driven world, but at some point, bring back journalistic integrity to say that don't put it out there so that people have to figure out the truth lies somewhere in the middle between the guy that hates the Astros, the guy that likes the Astros, and someone that knows the facts about what happened on a certain play.
I mean, and that's going to be so hard to do because of all the blogging and the fact that anybody can start a website easily, and they just make their edits. But from a journalistic standpoint, that should be on more like the traditional publications, like the newspapers, the beat writers, and the guys that are working on big outlets, because you're not going to do away with all these bloggers and all these fans that have the power to publish this stuff on the internet and on websites and edit it the way they want.
But Nick, you say the big outlets, but the big outlets are the guilty.
They're doing
right
it
now.
Too. I know.
Yeah,
I
the
know.
Buster Olney's of the world and all these other guys that, you know, that have the blue check mark, that is a go-to person for baseball.
They're
news.
Not all doing that, but you're
not
right.
Not all of them, but a lot right. of them. And they're capitalizing on the clicks because they know, just like ratings sell, and they used to sell in radio and TV, well, clicks sell on social media, and that's a big deal right now.
So 100%.
That's something that you got to keep in mind, too. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Hour number 2, 3-hour show. We're going to give a chance to win something here coming up in this hour. So stay tuned for that as well. But we appreciate you being suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier. And you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number 2, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go wherever you may be in the big city today. Enjoy the thick, swampy humidity, because the cold front comes tonight. Highs could be in the high 40s tomorrow, peeps.
Wow.
Steven Uzek, I'm sorry, little Uzi flirt. I've taken your thunder and lightning and cold temperatures.
Hi, why did we come up with little Uzi? Is that you? What you came up with?
I came up with, because his name is Steven Uzek, so I call him little Uzi flirt. Okay. Barry thought it was mean to call him big Uzi flirt, so we call him little Uzi flirt. For once, Barry had a sensitivity card out, and I played it. So we'll wrap up. We'll get some text real quick. Someone asked, what kind of dog is Charlie? He is a terrier, and he is a fighter, and he's an a-hole. Someone said, is it worse if a guy's in the back of a truck than a dog? Yeah, I'd say that's pretty bad, too. And I don't think either one of those things is something that should be looked at positively. And someone else said, 10 guys left after the 2017 Astros season, 10 more in 18, only 10 guys left from 17 in 2020. Every team in the league had to know about the cheating. I don't disagree. One, I'm never going to tell you that they didn't cheat, because they did.
Absolutely cheated.
Right?
No question.
I will say that it's interesting that they've pointed out that Reddick, Tony Kemp, and Altuve were the three guys that just wouldn't partake in it. And Reddick was very, very honest, and I appreciated that. And the fact that he said, with my concentration levels in the box and everything like that, there was just too much to process. I didn't feel comfortable doing it. I couldn't do it. And there was also the integrity of the game thing. So I get that. But right, with all these guys going to different teams, and like we said, whether Beltran has a tell-all book or some big interview at some point and he cashes in, or Cora, or the like, we're never going to really know all of the details, especially with the other teams. That's why I want the MLB ruling on the Red Sox to at least get another team involved so we can start talking about the fact that now we've got Red Sox players that were there during 18 that have moved on as well. Someone brought up the interesting point yesterday. Well, if Cody Bellinger's got all these problems with the Dodgers and all this cheating stuff, and then this Red Sox information comes out and your new player, Mookie Betts, was in the middle of all of it, now what?
Yeah, I just wish they're really transparent in the report, as transparent as possible. You did mention that they're probably not going to mention the players. I just wish there's more transparency, and I don't really see that just yet from Rob Manfred. But the Boston Red Sox report is definitely going to help the Astros case. I just don't know how much.
Yeah, and like I said, I just want all of the facts to come out. I'm tired of sitting here and everybody's just guessing and everybody's saying that everybody did it. But we don't really. I just would like to have that validated and have some proof. And just get it out on the table, and that would be fantastic. And if we could get that, that would be a start to cleaning up the sport going forward. But we'll see what happens. So there's just some texts to catch up on before we get anything further. The other thing that was interesting last night, I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but the Daytona 500 was delayed because of rain on Sunday. So they finished it yesterday, another photo finish, and it went down to the wire. And literally in the process of it going down to the wire, you not only had a big, big, big win was it Denny Hamlin that won for the second straight time, back-to-back, one of only a handful that have won back-to-back Daytona 500s, but the scarier thing, Ryan Newman was leading at the time, and it was in the final lap, and guys were jockeying for position, and a guy caught his back bumper, and he went flying, and that car was upside down and on fire, and you know, everybody was fearing the worst and praying for the best, and there was a lot of time that passed, and luckily the reports came out. Yes, he was in critical and serious condition, but the good news was there was not life-threatening injuries because, man, when you look at that video, no matter how many times you look at it...
Oh, it's bad.
It's bad.
Yeah, so Ryan Blaney's the one who locked bumpers with him, and then Corey, and I might be pronouncing his last name incorrectly, but LaJoy, or LaJoey, L-A-J-O-I-E, he's the one who slammed into... Newman's car sideways at full speed after it was kind of clipped by Blaney's car. So it just looked like a terrible, terrible, terrible accident. I forgot the name of, I guess he's the president of NASCAR. Let me look. I think I have his name right here. Steve O'Donnell. He described, just like you mentioned earlier, he described the situation as Newman being in serious condition, but non-life-threatening. I think it's important to mention the fact that just because it's non-life-threatening, it doesn't mean that it hasn't or will not impact the quality of his life for the remainder of his life. But with that said, NASCAR has done a really good job with evolving safety in this sport since, obviously, the big Dale Earnhardt accident in 2001. And so they've done so many things to fix their cars and make it as safer as possible. They reinforce the roll cage to where it's taller and it's wider. That way, when you roll, in the event that you roll over, hopefully you're not, getting hit with injuries because they've made the roll cage wider and taller. Mm-hmm. They've also introduced fire suits. They introduced the Hans device, which is like the head and neck device.
Brace.
That you put like right around your neck. Yep. I think Earnhardt Sr.,
was the reason why?
Well, he refused to wear it. It was already out. He refused to wear it because he thought it was uncomfortable, but it became mandatory. There was a big controversy about the seatbelt, and I think the guy's name was Bill Simmons, and they had to like change all the seatbelts in NASCAR. So it was a big, big deal. And for like I said, he might have his quality of life might be impacted for the rest of his life, but the fact that he's in a non-life-threatening situation means they're in the right direction in terms of safety.
Well, if you look at the way he hit the wall and you go back to the Earnhardt Sr. crash in 01, it was eerily similar in the way they hit the wall. But I remember watching Earnhardt Sr. thinking, I didn't think he really, because he didn't have the fiery crash and burn and all that other stuff.
No.
I didn't think there was anything there that indicated that he could possibly die in that crash. But like you said, there weren't enough safety devices and measures taken to make sure that they, you know, things that could prevent injury were in place. But that's why it's all the more amazing with the speed that these guys are flying around on and the jockeying for position. Literally, the cars are closer than you and I are right now at almost all times, and drafting and all the other things that happen. To say that they haven't had a fatality since Dale Earnhardt Sr. in 01 is amazing to me.
Yeah, you're right. And because they're traveling at such high speeds and they're traveling so close to each other, there's not really room for a big mistake or even a mediocre mistake, because that's the type of accident that it could eventually result in, lead to. And so, like I said, they've done a good job. You know, prayers out to Newman and his family, but they've done so many things. Like I said, the seatbelt, they've introduced carbon fiber seats, the roll cage, the Hans device. They've done everything they possibly could. I'm pretty sure you can always do more, and technology always advances, but they've done everything they could. I forgot how many years it's been since they've had a death, and that's a good thing, in NASCAR, and that's a good thing.
That's what I'm saying. Since 01, since Dale Sr., they haven't had a death.
Right. And the particular in the Daytona 500 in particular, correct?
Yeah, that's all races, but that would include all the Daytona 500s.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm just glad that he at the very minimum, he can kind of heal and recover from these injuries. And hopefully, maybe one day you see Newman back on the track, man.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You hope so. He's 42. Shocking that, you know, when you talk about all the things, and they call him the Rocket, and he was so popular. But you've had a great run at it. The most important thing is that you're still living, and we don't want to speculate on how bad the injuries are or aren't and what exactly the extent of them are, and I'm sure at the appropriate time they'll release that. But in looking at it, the fact that at least he's going to be around is important.
100%.
And that's the main thing.
Maybe he doesn't race. Maybe he has his own team. Maybe he can contribute to the sport in other ways and not be a driver. In any case, prayers out to Ryan Newman, because that was a horrific accident, and seeing it on TV was really scary.
No doubt. And don't mess with Juggalo Trey, especially.
Yeah, we should have had him on
to
break it down.
Yeah, because Juggs. Some people did the old the Kobe Bryant helicopter crash thing where they were guesstimating and putting word out there. Trey was having none of that, and he was putting people in their place on the quick last night. Just FYI.
Good for
All
him.
Right, we're on the quick, finishing the first half of the show. Quick Nick in for Barry, Aaron here, as well as myself. We're going to get the second half started in just mere minutes right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey! 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show starts right now on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry's out, back tomorrow. Nick is in today like he was yesterday. And Aaron Raybould doing a great job filling in, doing double duty before he does the blitz, hanging with us on a Tuesday in the big city. We've covered a lot of ground in the first half of the show. Talked Astros, talked Rockets, and the two veterans that they signed. If you missed it, Damari Carroll and Jeff Green joining the team. Both were bought out, Green by the Jazz, Carroll by the Spurs yesterday. Both guys expected to be with the team as they travel to the Bay Area. They have the Warriors at the start of a two-game road trip on Thursday night on TNT. So we'll see how that they fall into the plans of one Mike D'Antoni and Daryl Morey. Obviously, plenty to talk about, as we have been, with the Astro scandal that has new details every single day. And other things in the sports world, Drew Brees coming back with the Saints, the big Daytona 500 crash yesterday. So we've covered a lot of things for you. If you missed any of it, ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab for the suspects at the top of the page. The hours will pop down. You can always catch up on anything that you missed along the way. Other than that, not surprising here, but one other bit of Astros business. Francis Martez, a guy that was the number one prospect in the Astros farm system just a few short years ago, suspended last year for performance-enhancing drugs. And under the file of, I guess he didn't learn his lesson, he has done it again, dabbling in the PEDs. So instead of his 80-game suspension for a positive test last year being something of the past, he now is suspended for 162 games and a full season this year. Basically, just, you're done.
Martez?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bolden one is the anabolic steroid that he tested positive for. It's commonly used in horses, actually, but a number of athletes across a number of sports have been tested positive for that, including MMA fighters like Josh Barnett. Stephen Bonner tested positive for it as well. I think there was a double tennis player. I think his name was Robert Farah. He tested positive for Bolden 1 as well. The semi-built-in excuse that some of these athletes have that's really not working is they come from different countries and they use different steroids when they make their meat, like cow meat. And so when they eat meat and there might be, you know, different hormones and steroids that might make you pass a drug test, they're kind of doing away with that excuse. You should know what you're putting in your body. So, and this is the second time he's been caught, and kind of the timing could not be any worse with the cheating scandal surrounding the Astros right now. So,
but you talk about damaged goods or not worth it if you're a franchise and another team looking at possibly bringing him in or seeing if the Astros just basically say we're done or whatever, if they cut ties with him. But you go from clomiphene, which is a woman's fertility drug that has been used by athletes to counter the side effects of steroid use, to everything that you just got done talking about with the Bolden 1, or however you pronounce
it. Bolden 1.
Bolden 1.
Just like it's spelled.
That tells you that there's a history here that looks like there's a pretty clear understanding of what this guy is all about, and he's been dabbling in this stuff for years.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's so tempting, especially with injuries and stuff like that. A lot of the reasons why they're using steroids is because they want to be able to recover faster. I don't know exactly the reason why Martez keeps getting tested positive, but
well, he had Tommy John surgery before the last PED test.
Okay, yep. Well, there you go. So I mean, it's really you have to understand injuries can be so discouraging. It can mess with your mind. It could mess with your confidence. And for players who are under a lot of pressure and they're trying to prove themselves in the big leagues, they want to make it possible. They want to be able to make it in the league, and they want to have longevity. And that's why it's so tempting to try some of these steroids. And I feel like in most cases, I don't have any numbers, I don't have any proof to, I don't have any evidence to use as proof, but I feel like in most cases it's because of injury and they're trying to recover faster. But Bolden 1 has been, I can't tell you how many athletes have been busted testing positive for that.
They're right.
And that's not me saying it's okay in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying it's a very common steroid used.
When did you get off of it?
Man, if I was on Bolden 1, I'd be doing a whole bunch of other things, man. But yeah, I mean, not a good look, like I said. Timing couldn't be any worse, and now he's suspended for 162 games.
Okay. So, again, someone that you're not going to have to worry about if you're dealing with the Houston Astros. Someone the Giants, by the way, are not going to be – someone that they're not going to be worried about when they honor their 2010 World Series team this year, Aubrey Huff, a one-time Houston Astro, a guy that during the Giants' run that year hit 290 with 35 doubles, an OPS of 891. I think it had 26 home runs. It was a huge performer for them that year. Since then, safe to say, fellas, he has gone off the deep end. He's made several comments and shown pictures, including one of him with his gun range shooting, and basically tweeted that out with some derogatory situations. Like the quote was, after putting up his gun range target with all the head with the bullets, and it said, getting my boys trained up on how to use a gun in the unlikely event that Bernie Sanders beats Donald Trump in 2020, in which case knowing how to effectively use a gun under socialism will be a must. By the way, the most headshots were theirs. No, not good.
Nope.
Followed that up with pictures of like Iranian women saying their only duty should be for me and my boys to have them feed us grapes and fan us. Mm. Giants making a smart move here, because if there's anything that you can figure out about Aubrey Huff right now, he is not a stable individual.
He's not. He's definitely not. And I don't know why people would even think about making comments like that and thinking they're not going to get any type of trouble or is there any repercussions. Even if you don't get in trouble, like there's the whistleblowers, there's the social media people that are going to go out there and absolutely kill you. I don't know why people are still making comments like that. Sometimes it's a poor choice of words, but man, I just don't get it.
And I mean, and he obviously under the category of I don't get it, Nick, said, quite frankly, I'm shocked and disappointed by the Giants' decision. If it wasn't for me, they wouldn't be having a reunion. But if they want to stick with their politically correct progressive BS, that's fine. Okay. You need some help is what it comes down to. But
it is. He does, for sure. No doubt. No doubt in my mind.
Stability is not something that he seems to have a lot of in his life right now, if that's the way he's acting. But we'll see how that goes. But the Giants are going to honor their 2010 World Series team right there. And also a little bit of news, as we've talked about yesterday, Nick, coming off of the slam dunk competition. I don't know if you saw this or not, because you know I'm a sneakerhead, and a lot of people are. Derek Jones Jr., in the controversial win over Aaron Gordon,
yeah,
did actually wear Puma-branded shoes in the contest. He has parlayed that into a full-blown shoe deal with Puma.
And Puma's been trying to, I mean, how long have they been in, like, are back in, if you want to, in the shoe game for the NBA?
They got back in about a year and a half ago is when they got back in. They had been a player back in the Clyde Frazier days. There's a Clyde version Puma. But overall, they had dabbled in other sports and just like casual shoes. But when they wanted to make a full-blown jump back in to the shoe game in basketball, they had signed Boogie Cousins, which obviously didn't work out well because of all the injuries. They have got Danny Green. They've got a few Melvin Bagley III. But they're constantly kind of on that lower tier trying to add players, and now they're adding the slam dunk champ, which you got to believe because he did them a service by wearing the shoes in the dunk contest and won it, and they got some pub. I'm sure in order to do some advertising and things with him, they had to have him under contract, so hopefully he got some cash out of the deal.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even read the story, but when you listed it, I was like, oh, all right, he was able to, you know, able to capitalize on that. Puma's just, they really have an approach. I feel like they have a set approach and a mentality, a marketing approach to getting back into the NBA, because I hear their name more and more being associated with the NBA each and every day. So I feel like they really want to be in this. I think they're going to be sponsoring, or they're going to give a lot more shoe deals to a lot more players. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, so we'll see. There's just some other news around the sports world as we continue to roll. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. That's our HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. And oh, by the way, if you hang with us, we're going to give away some tickets coming up this hour. So you got a chance to win just by being a suspect. Stay right where you are. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. How it
goes, give me honey. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, wrapping up hour number two, three-hour show. Lots that we are unfolding. Obviously, every day there's something new with the cheating scandal, and we were talking about the Daytona 500, the Rockets with their two additions, and we can get to more of that in the third hour. And just kind of scanning the globe on everything that's been going on. But the baseball scandal obviously won't go away. And Aaron, you were talking about it during the break. Very interesting, because the debate rages on about, was it just in 2017? And Barry and I have gotten into this as well, because Correa's adamant that it stopped in 18 and 19. There was nothing. The commissioner's report said there was indications they were trying in early 18, and then for whatever reason, things weren't working, and then they weren't doing it, and that there was nothing in 19. But it's just a matter of opinion. But Carl Ravitch, who did the interview with Rob Manfred, also ran the gamut on shows talking about what he found out and some of the things that relate to the scandal, and he brought this tidbit, Aaron brought this tidbit to the table about 2018.
What the Red Sox did certainly didn't rise to the level of what the Astros did. I had somebody tell me that prior to the 2018 LCS between the Red Sox and the Astros, there was a meeting with Joe Torre, AJ Hinch and his group, Alex Cora and his group. And basically, Torre had come out and said, look, whatever you guys are considering doing, whatever you guys are doing, I would advise you strongly, strongly to cut it out. Because you guys should understand that at some point, somebody's going to leave your organization and rat you out. And when that happens, everything's going to blow up in your face. So to me, that sent the message that they knew something was coming. We're very aware that this was a possibility. And I think what happened to those two people that were in the room, Cora, Hinch, that changed the way that they were going to behave moving forward.
That's some interesting stuff right there, because that leads you to believe, obviously, that they were still doing something in 18. And now you got Aaron Judge saying he deleted his tweet about Jose Altuve, that it left a pit in his stomach, made him feel sick to his stomach. He felt like you cheated, you didn't earn it. Well, see, again, there's just so many details that have to come out around the Beltran part of the situation as part of this, and what he was doing with the Yankees. Because otherwise, then maybe you should give up your Rookie of the Year trophy in those 3 years that Beltran was with you, and in particular when you had your breakout Rookie of the Year success. And the other thing that people forget about, when I understand Jim Crane made a mistake, and he said he didn't say that it affected the World Series and the outcome, and then said I didn't say that. So that's the joke between the two audio clips, right? But at the end of the day, if you're the Yankees, regardless of what the Astros did or didn't do, here at Minute Maid Park, you scored, what, 4 runs, 3 runs total? So you're telling me that was enough to win the American League Championship Series?
I mean, that's a good point, and that's compelling audio, but the clip also does make me feel like the whole Carlos Correa approach about being vocal is kind of a dangerous move. I mean, if you have people like that saying that, and even if it didn't help him as much as you think, the fact that he was on record saying it didn't happen, the cheating didn't happen in those years, and then you have someone like that saying that it did, it's just a bet. It's just, that's why the whole mentality, and like I said, as difficult as it's going to be for a 162 game season, you got to keep taking it on the chin. I appreciate what Carlos Correa is doing, being the leader in the clubhouse in terms of being vocal surrounding the Astros scandal, but it is a dangerous move. It's a dangerous card to play. And, you know, you got to be careful, because you don't know what other reports are going to come out and say.
Yeah, you better be damn sure, right?
I feel like you have to. I feel like it's dangerous for Astros players to take that approach. It's dangerous for non-Astros players to start bagging on Astros players when there's any remote possibility that you're linked to cheating.
But also, Nick, I go back to what I said. They scored 3 runs. In 4 losses against the Astros, right? So regardless of what the Astros did offensively at the plate, the Yankees only scored 3 runs in 4 losses. So you go back and you say, well, there's that the Yankees should consider. Just like Cody Bellinger, while he's throwing stones at everybody else, he hit, what, 052 in the World Series? He was absolutely certified dog crap, but yet he's out there throwing blows and trying to get in the middle of it. And I get it. I mean, the two teams that are going to be more bitter and scorned than anybody else are the Yankees and the Dodgers, and they happen to be in the two biggest media markets in the country. But at the same time, check all your boxes and do all your back-checking and fact-checking before you come out throwing, pointing fingers and throwing blows.
Well, so, yeah, I mean, that's why you've been harping on this mentality. We all have been. You got to take it on the chin, man, because anybody who's vocal, and sometimes people, that's their nature. Like, they're going to be vocal. They're going to go out and they're going to say stuff. So sometimes you can't help it. But man, it's just such a big risk. And that's, to me, is telling audio. You know, that's really, really telling audio.
And you know what? Of all the things, fellas, this is the thing that worries me the most. Because what I like is, like I said, I love that Astros Twitter should be just getting ready to be us against the world and stop worrying about everybody else and just take care of your business. Just like I think from a team perspective, the outward message that everybody seems to be getting in terms of how the Astros are handling this is, whether you agree with their PR way of handling their quotes and their comments and things like that or not, it seems like they're sticking together. It seems like they're a tight unit and they're going to say us against the world. But then John Heyman, a noted baseball writer, comes out and tweets 20 minutes ago, many people, perhaps most even, most perhaps, would have liked to have seen Astros players punished. For what it's worth, and not sure this will make anyone feel better, but it is not much fun in the Astros clubhouse right now. One Astros player summed it up by saying, it's a bleeping mess. That bothers me more than anything else, because I want to see them just prove all naysayers wrong, take on all comers by just saying, we're still a damn good baseball team and we're going to be great this year. That bothers me.
Yeah, it does. But I'll pick apart the tweet, though. I mean, you do kind of have to say it. That's what we've been talking about the whole time. You have to harp on the fact that, hey, look, we're sorry. We shouldn't cheat. Cheating is bad, blah, 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 blah. But I'm not sure that that's an accurate representation of what the clubhouse is together as a unit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a mess. It's a mess because they have to answer all these questions, and they'd rather not answer questions about that. They'd rather answer questions about baseball and getting ready for the upcoming season. Just because he said it's a bleeping mess doesn't necessarily mean that this clubhouse is not a tight-knit group right now. And you got to remember, there's plenty of blame to go around, and we talked about the PR staff before. I feel like they're doing the best that they can to work with each other to get through this situation. Just because John Heyman tweeted that doesn't necessarily mean the clubhouse is an absolute mess right now. I just think what's a mess and what he might be referring to is the sport and the fact that they have to address all these questions and deal with it going up as they're getting ready for the next season. So maybe the clubhouse is. I haven't been in the clubhouse this season yet. I do plan on going, but I didn't get that vibe or that tone when I was there. And this is all obviously before the scandal came out, but if I go back during the regular season, I think it's going to be very apparent as to what the feel is in the clubhouse. I think local people will really know that. John Heyman is not always in the clubhouse. So.
And you know, the more interesting thing is as you're covering the team on a night-by-night basis and we're going to the games and we're trying to feel that vibe out as well, too. Obviously, it's all just a bunch of flying comments at this point. But when we get down to playing games, and obviously, you know, look, first and foremost, they're going to play spring training games and teams are going to face this team and we're going to get a kind of an indication. But we won't get a real indication until the real games begin. When they play Oakland and Fires is in the ballpark. And, you know, again, must-see TV. I would assume AT&T Sportsnet's ratings are going to go through the roof this year because every game for the Astros is going to be must-see TV and how they handle it. And if they handle adversity off the on the field as well as they're handling all this off the field leading into the season, and they get through the roller coaster ride that is 162 games and how they, you know, go through the good times and the bad times, it'll say a lot early on about what this team's all about.
Yeah, for sure, because it's just added pressure. You're already going through a lot. I mean, every at-bat is an enormous amount of pressure for some of the best players in the game. So what makes you think that they're going to have an at-bat following this scandal? It's just that much more added pressure. So it's going to speak volumes. It's going to speak volumes if they can get through this because, like you said, it's off the field adversity, on the field adversity, and how they're going to respond to it. It's going to say so much about their character and where they're at if they're able to get through it. I just don't know if they will, but they're obviously kind of taking it a little personal. It's kind of hard not to.
Yeah, it is, because every day that's what you're facing. You're not facing, hey, what happened in the fifth inning yesterday? Right now, all you're facing is the same storyline over and over until there are games played and there are other things to talk about. And then you're going to have to face the fact that as good as this team has been over the last couple of years, the one glaring weakness, and again, because of the fact that the two guys taking the blame, whether rightfully or not, for all of this, impact directly performance of this team on the field and in the front office. We knew all offseason that Garrett Cole, the best pitcher in baseball, was gone, and they had to replace him. Based on the fact that Luno was let go and Click was hired late, you now go into camp with no clear-cut replacement for Garrett Cole. You're hoping Lance McCullers is healthy, and you don't know what the rotation's going to look like because he's still getting settled in before he even tries to make any more moves about what's going to happen with this pitching staff. That's a big question mark on a team that has to play well to prove people wrong.
There's a lot of odds working against them. I mean, I don't know if you have any thoughts on this, Aaron, but there's a lot of odds working against them right now. Like you said, the adversity is on and off the field. They're going to have to do a lot. I just don't believe. I mean, this John Heyman tweet, I mean, I just don't know if it's really that bad in the clubhouse.
I think the biggest thing, Nick, is just the fact that because they're not playing games, that's
all they're thinking about and talking about.
So it would be kind of natural too for it to be kind of a mess because from a day in day out basis, people are, you know, the players are coming in going, what's it going to be today? Who am I going to be answering questions about that said something bad about us today? Instead of just focusing on pitching and what they're doing and all those kind of things.
Yeah, so. Look, they probably want the season to get started. They probably can't wait to get this season going. So. You know, they just want to do whatever it takes to where they can focus on baseball, and it's just going to be an uphill battle for a while, for sure.
Well, I told you, and I teased it, and I promised you guys the chance to win something, and here it comes right now before we wrap up the second hour of the show. The progressive rock band Coheed and Cambria are returning to the road this year for their Neverender No World 4 tour. Tomorrow Tour, and they're making a stop at the Revention Music Center. The four bandmates are back and better than ever to kick off a new tour you don't want to miss. Caller number 10 right now, 713-780-3776. Caller 10 wins a pair of tickets to catch Coheed and Cambria May 8th at the Revention Music Center. Get your tickets now if you don't win them. LiveNation.com. Good luck. And don't go anywhere. It's more of the Usual Suspects in the final hour of the show. Coming up next, ESPN 97.5. This moment I replaced with an empty wish to give.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.